Study of the book of Romans, and last week we didn't get very far. We looked at the first verse, and today we're going to look at verses 2 through 4, and so if you would open up your Bibles to Romans 1, and you know, friends, the gospel is what the book of Romans is all about, but the gospel is not about us. The gospel is for us, and we benefit from it. But what did we learn last week? We are bondslaves. We're servants. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, what we're going to see is the gospel is more than just words. The gospel is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is, as we learned last week, he is our master. And I hope, like you, I hope you and me together, I hope we can say, I love my master. And I hope that we could voluntarily, if you will, take our head and lay our ear against the doorpost and allow that mark to be put on us that tells the world that I'm a bondslave to my master because I love him, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the wonderful person of the gospel. Help us now, Lord, as we once again open your word to this precious book, this book of Romans. Help us, Lord, to understand just who the Lord Jesus is. And Lord, give us a greater understanding of who he is. Give us a greater vision of who he is. So, Lord, that we would grow in our faith and in our trust and in our belief. And Lord, you would help us, Father, to believe, and you would help us, Father, to give our lives to you. For you alone are worthy. You alone are the one, Lord, who took our sin upon thyself and took it to Calvary. You alone, Lord, are the one who was nailed to the cross when it should have been each and every one of us. So, Lord, we praise you for that. And I pray now that as we look into your word, you'd open our hearts, our minds, our lives, Lord, and help us to allow this word to sink deep into our lives and change us because of it. And help us not only to be hearers, but doers of your word. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, as I said in my introductory message, we saw we are the Lord's bondservants. We've been redeemed. We have been brought back by the Lord from the slave market of sin. Our sin has been forgiven. Our debt is paid, and we are free. Amen? But with this newfound freedom, we are now separated unto the Lord and commissioned or sent to preach the gospel. But what is the gospel? Well, Paul will take the rest of the book to explain to us what the gospel is. But the theme of these opening verses of Romans is the gospel of God. And this gospel concerns his Son, Jesus Christ's person and work. Today we're going to examine the wonderful person of the gospel, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's a big word, the theanthropic person. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? He's the God-man. He is 100% God, yet 100% man. Turn with me. Just for a moment, back a couple of books to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, very familiar verses. But in verse 1 we read, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." So there John tells us that the Lord Jesus, the Word, is God. But then in verse 14, he tells us something very, very unique. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So this God, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, became a man. He put on flesh for us. And for us, friends, to understand the gospel message, we must first understand the gospel's person. And the first thing we must understand is that God, the Son, left the glory and praises of heaven and came to earth to become a man so that he could be our Savior. He did all of this for you and for me. No one has humbled himself so as the Lord. Think about that. He is God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. For all of eternity past, he heard the praise of the angels every day. They worshiped him. They were his servants. And one day, Philippians 2, he decided to robe himself in flesh and become a man for you, for me. Those are wonderful thoughts to ponder. Those are wonderful thoughts to meditate upon and to try to get a grip on. But notice with me from verse 2, the first point, the gospel promised. Verse 2, "which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." Now notice, if we go back to 1, verse 1, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." And this gospel of God, he promised before by the prophets in the Bible. So notice the source of the gospel is God, which he. So the source of the gospel had its source, its beginning in God. God, which he. You know, God did something about man's predicament. God created Adam and Eve, placed them in a garden, and said, "Enjoy the garden. It is all yours. There's only one thing you cannot do, and that is eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil." We know Satan came and chapter 3, tempted and deceived Eve and Adam, and they ate. And they disobeyed God, and sin, evil, now entered into their world. And Adam and Eve hid from God. And Adam and Eve tried to hide their shame by covering their nakedness. And what did God do? We hear in chapter 3, God calling out, "Adam, where are you?" God didn't lose Adam. But God was calling Adam. And through the rest of the Bible, we see God intervening because of man's predicament. So God is the source of the gospel, the time of the gospel, long before Christ ever came, which he had promised afore. So the promise of the gospel was long before Christ came. In fact, Revelation 13, verse 8, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ being the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The channel of the gospel, the prophets, which he had promised afore by his prophets. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, that God, in times past, moved through these prophets, these holy men of God, spake as they were moved, inspired by the Spirit. So God, through his prophets, began to tell the gospel, began to tell mankind. And we see all of that as we go through the Bible, through the Old Testament. And notice the communication of the gospel. It's the Bible in the Holy Scriptures, which he, God, had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. One of my favorite accounts in all of the Bible is one of the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus in Luke 24, when he's with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they're walking along, and Jesus comes up to them and disguised, if you will, to them. They did not recognize him. And he walks up to them, and this is the Dan Boyce version. And he says, "Hey, what's going on? How you doing?" And they say to him, "How we doing? Where have you been? Haven't you heard what's going on?" No. What's going on? "Well, they crucified Jesus. And we had hoped he'd be the Savior. And some of the women who went to the tomb this morning, they even said that he's not there. And some of them said they've seen him alive." In verse 27, it says, Jesus took them from Moses, Genesis, to all the prophets, Malachi, and told them the things concerning himself. Well, that's just an awesome thing to think that Jesus is walking along with them. Then they come home, they have dinner with him, and Jesus breaks bread. And of course, he was revealed then to them and he disappeared. Did they see his hands? How did he reveal? I don't know. But he explained to them from all of the scriptures the things, what? Concerning himself. So friends, if you search for it, the gospel is scattered like buckshot throughout the whole Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the gospel is first promised. The seed of a woman will bruise Satan's head. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God promises Abraham that in your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. How is that? Jesus would come through the Jewish faith. In Deuteronomy 18, 18, Moses prophesies that like unto me, God will raise up a prophet from yourselves who will share with you the word of God. Psalm 22, very vividly describing crucifixion long before it was ever invented. Isaiah 53, of course, that wonderful chapter that talks about God's servant, the Messiah, our sin being laid upon him, and as a lamb taken to the slaughter. And of course, Malachi 3, almost the last chapter, the promise of the prophet John the Baptist, who would come to prepare the way for the Lord. So all the way from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament is filled with the gospel. So the gospel was promised Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And one last thing before we move to the next point. When God makes a promise, he fulfills it. And he promised that he would send a Savior, and he did. But notice with me verses 3 and 4, the gospel's person. The gospel's person. And letter A, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now this gospel is concerning, it's pertaining to, it's regarding, it's having relation to. Friends, the great burden, the great theme, the great person of the gospel is the Lord Jesus. And I think sometimes, friends, we don't emphasize that enough. The gospel is the Lord Jesus. And when we share the gospel with people, we need to share with them more than just words, more than just facts, but we need to share with them the Lord Jesus, who loves them. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that what? Jesus loves me. And we can't forget that. We can never forget that. And here's how much Jesus loves us. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made. Interesting word there, which was made. This speaks of Christ's humanity, which was made. Made. It means it caused to be. It means to generate. It means literally to come into being or existence. And again, this speaks of Christ's humanity, his human body and nature, which he received from Mary when the Holy Spirit came upon him. You know, notice that word, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. You know, we read John before. I don't know if you have a study Bible or not, but John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh. Same word. So just as John is teaching us that the Word, God the Son, was made flesh, came into being or existence, Paul is telling us here in Romans the importance of the humanity of Christ. He was made, he caused to be, he came into existence. God the Son never had a beginning, but the humanity of Christ had a beginning. Today we're celebrating the sanctity of life. And just think about that. When the angel came to Mary and told her that the power of the highest would overshadow her, and that which would be born in her would be born of the Holy Ghost. Mary, in her womb, had the body of Jesus. God the Son took up residence in Mary's womb. And for 9 months, God the Son, the creator of all the universe, dwelt in a womb. How do we know that? A couple months later, she's visiting Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard her voice, John the Baptist leaped in her womb. That sure seems like a lot of life going on to me. But just think about that humility, that person. that God would take up residence in a womb. It also says he was made of the seed of David. Friends, this speaks of the promised Messiah that would come through David's family. Now I want you to turn to 2 Samuel 7, but we don't have time to do a complete study. If you follow the messianic line from Genesis 3 down, you know, through that first promise, through Noah's family, through Seth's line, through Abraham's line, and you carry it all the way down to David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7 in verse 16, David had a desire to build God a temple. And he wanted to build God a temple. God said, no, you can't do that, but you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to build you a house. And he says in verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established. And then this great prayer of David again, which we don't have time to go into. But friends, people knew that the Messiah would come through David's family. Because in Matthew 22, verse 42, Jesus asks a question. He asks a question to the disciples, and he says, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. And how many times do we see in the Bible the lepers, the blind people, thou son of David, have mercy on us? They knew. So notice it says there, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Christ's humanity. Friends, too often we overemphasize Christ's deity at the expense of his humanity. Friends, our Savior was fully man. He did his messianic work as a man, fully surrendered to and filled with the Holy Spirit. Never forget the fact that Jesus Christ was a man. Therefore, he is our example that we should follow. Look at look at 1 Peter. Don't look at your feet. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21. The latter part of the verse says, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Now think about this. Would it be fair for God to say, follow my steps? Who could do that? None of us. But God became a man. And in his humanity, Christ was filled with the Spirit of God and did his messianic work as a man. Therefore, he is our example, the one that we should follow. You say, it's not fair. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet what? Without sin. You know that humanity of Christ, and I don't want to downplay his deity. We're going to talk about that in a moment. He was God, but he was also man. And as God, Philippians tells us, Paul tells us in another place, he chose to humble himself. And he chose the limitations and the restrictions of flesh. And he never said in his human experience, I'm God, I'll bypass that one. Never said it. He hungered. He thirsted. He felt pain. He grew weary. He knew the loss of losing a loved one. He sorrowed. He cried. He wept. He laughed. A lot of times I think we think Jesus never laughed. He had 12 disciples. Study those guys. There had to be a lot of laughter going on. Shaking his head a lot. He was human in every way. Perfect, but fully man. But Paul goes on to even explain to us this wonderful theanthropic person, this God-man. Not only is he fully man, but he's fully God. Now notice, verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made, speaking of his humanity, but verse 4 starts out, and declared to be the Son of God. Declared here means to mark out or bound, to appoint. It means to decree or specify. And friends, the force of the Greek here is that he was manifested as the Son of God. He was revealed as the Son of God. Throughout the Gospels, this is declared by the Father. Many times we hear the Father say, "This is my beloved Son." Quite often when he cast out demons, demons declared he was the Son of God. His disciples declared it. Thomas declared it. John the Baptist declared it. The thief on the cross declared it. "Lord, remember me." The centurion at the cross said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." How was he declared to be the Son of God? The next phrase, with power. With power. The Greek word here is dunamis. It's the same word we get the word dynamite from. And it's the same word that we're going to study a few weeks down the road in verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. The same power that was demonstrated in the life of Christ that was manifested to prove that he was God, that same power is resident in the gospel. This word speaks of the miraculous display of the divine energy of God. Think of all the divine power and energy that went into creation. That power is in the gospel. According to the Spirit of holiness, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, speaking of his humanity, here we read, according to the Spirit of holiness, which speaks of his deity. So he was made according to the flesh, speaking of his humanity. He was declared according to the Spirit of holiness. This speaks of deity. By the resurrection from the dead. Christ's bodily resurrection from the dead. Notice, Christ's bodily resurrection from the dead is the greatest declaration of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did a lot of wonderful things. He raised the dead. He forgave sin. He proved his deity. But the greatest display of his deity was his own resurrection. Friends, if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, he is not God. But he did. And we could go to churches today, churches that claim to be Christian, and they deny the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In doing so, they deny that he is God. It was a spirit baptism. I'm sorry, it was a spirit resurrection. He just, you know, his disciples wanted to see him so bad that they saw him. It was a spirit. Friends, if Christ is not alive, we have no hope. No hope. The fact of his resurrection is attested to by a host of eyewitnesses. Over 500 were told by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. Over 500 people saw the Lord Jesus alive after he was dead. The change in the disciples. How can you attest to the fact that the disciples who were all hiding, running away, scared to death, suddenly and miraculously changed? The fact that we are here on Sunday and not Saturday attests to the fact of his resurrection. Because Sunday is Resurrection Day, the greatest day on the Christian calendar. Sunday, first day of the week. All four Gospels, Jesus rose, first day of the week. And we come to remember the cornerstone of our faith. Friends, his resurrection allowed him to ascend back to heaven, where he's at the Father's own right hand, where one day, yes, he'll come, but one day, every person will stand before him as judge. Every person. And that's a dreadful day, the Bible tells us. That's a fearful thing. That one day, you, me, we have to stand before God. We have to stand before the Lord Jesus. And we have to give an account. Are you going to be clothed in Christ's righteous garments as you stand before him? Or will you, like Adam and Eve, try to cover your sin with fig leaves? We all as a leaf do fade. No covering for your sin. Even standing before him in Christ's righteousness, it's a fearful thing. Are you ready for that? Friends, the gospel is not only a message to be believed and to be told. It is. The gospel is a message to be believed and told. But the gospel is a person. And that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Son of God, the Son of David, the long-awaited Messiah, and the soon-coming King. My friend, do you know the wonderful person of the gospel? Is he your Savior? Think about this. Whether you believe God or not doesn't change the facts. Whether you believe the Bible or not, it doesn't change the facts. This is God's Word. It is truth from the beginning to the end. So it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's truth. You're going to be judged by it. And you may say, that doesn't concern me. One day it will concern you. And whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not as the Savior doesn't change the fact that he is the Savior of all mankind. And he died for you. And God put this whole plan in motion for you. And for you to say you don't need it, you're telling God, I know better. You'll have to answer for that. There's a wonderful person named the Lord Jesus Christ who is the person of the gospel, who proved his love for you, as we're going to see over and over again in the book of Romans, over and over again, that God manifested or demonstrated his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He loved you so much. He left heaven and came to earth to be born and live as the poorest of men. Such humility, such a gift given. And he did it for you because he loved you. How are you going to answer God when you have to stand before him as judge? Will your answer be, well, Lord, you know, I did pretty good. I wasn't that bad. I wasn't bad as Andrew Hemingway. Wasn't as good as Nate Pelletier, but I wasn't as bad as Andrew. You know, we joke, but that's going to be some of the things people say. Lord, I did this, I did that. We did this, we did that. Depart. I never knew you. Serious, friend. It's not just a message to be believed, it's a person. It's a wonderful person that every person will stand before. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. You can bow the knee now, or you will bow the knee when it may be too late. Choice is yours. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here today. And